As always, I ask for your prayers today. Pray the Lord to be with us this morning. I've written on the board fundamentals. Fundamental, in adjective form, means pertaining to the foundation or basis, serving for the foundation. Hence, is essential, important. The noun form, a leading or primary principle, rule, law, or article, which serves as the groundwork of a system, essential part, as the fundamentals of the Christian faith. This has been a burden on my heart for some time, and it goes back over things that we've dealt with over the years. It's hard for me to even comprehend. It'll soon be 20 years that I have been trying to pastor in this congregation. And I say trying to pastor because I also realize that my failures and foibles come up before my face pretty often. And I appreciate the patience of the congregation, and my desire is to be, hopefully, when I leave this world, stand before the Lord, and He can say, "Well done, thou faithful servant." That is my desire. But I have had a burden for about fundamentals, and I pray this morning that the Lord will help us draw our minds in here for these few minutes. Time, it's 11:30 now. So I pray the Lord would help us draw our minds in here for these few minutes today. One of the things that I have concern about is I am fully aware that time and distance between anything that could be a crisis or a real positive impact situation in our lives, time and distance has a way of dulling our memory to the keenness or the importance of the events that take place. Those of you who remember the time right after Hurricane Katrina as it roared through near here can remember how terribly hot and dry it was after that storm passed through. You remember trying to find a place where you could get cool a little bit, trying to sleep at night without electricity, where we were so used to having air conditioning. But I'm going to ask you a question. Would you go home tonight and unplug or turn off your main breaker and sleep with no electricity and no fans tonight? Would you say that the time, distance between the event then and now has really changed our outlook on things, our ability to deal with the inconveniences? For me, I say yes. Yes, it has. Because the distance between it. Then I was happy just to be able to have a place to lay down on the floor that was cool by a window. But I wouldn't want to do that tonight. I'd want my air conditioning or fan running. Those are things that happen to us. Distance and time can cause us to remember or forget certain things. And this is one thing that I want us to think about today. I want you to think about the time, if you are saved today, I want you to think about the time when the Lord met you wherever your altar of prayer was, and He released you from the burden of sin that you were carrying. And I want us to think about what took place then and where we are now. I want us to think about what can transpire in that space of time. It is so easy for us to forget the moment and have so many other things attached over the years, over the space of time, that we forget the moment and the importance of the moment when the realization came of what it was that God was willing to do for us. Again, fundamental, pertaining to the foundation or basis. primary principle, rule, law, or article which serves as the groundwork of a system. What I want us to consider today is the fundamental of a Christian faith. Fundamental of Christianity. Fundamental. I like to think about a couple of instances here that come to mind. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, there were two malefactors with Him. One on the right, one on the left. One of them said, "Do something." My short terms, do something. The other one said, "Remember me." Jesus said to the one that said, "Remember me, today you'll be with me in paradise." There were two men that went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, one was a publican. The Pharisee said, "Oh, I'm such a good man. I give tithes of everything I possess. I fast twice in the week. I give my alms to the poor. And I am so thankful that I'm not like this man." This man, the Scripture says, well, let's just turn and read what it says. Luke 18. Verse 13. The publican, standing afar off, he stood afar off because he wasn't allowed to stand close to the Pharisee. If I remember right, it had to be at least 4 cubits is what they considered had to be at least that distance, so they wouldn't hear each other's confessions. And he knew, the publican knew, that in his situation, compared to this Pharisee, that the Pharisee would be offended for him to stand so close. So he stood afar off. And Scripture says he would not even lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner." Jesus' word says this, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." So with the Pharisee and the publican, one says, "I do." The other one says, "God, be merciful." Two very different approaches to the same one. The two malefactors, two very different approaches to the same one. Very different ways that they approached Him, very different ways that they communicated with Him, very different answers and outcomes for each of them. Drastic difference. Now, I want us this morning, by the help of the Lord, to consider some fundamental things. I want us to remember when we walk out of these doors today, fundamental things that God has done for us are something we need to never forget, remembering that it is the basis for which everything else that I have as a Christian, it falls upon these fundamental principles. Matthew 1:21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." That is a fundamental. That is something that you and I need never to forget. The purpose of Jesus Christ was to save people from their sins. There was no other way for you or me to be saved except the divine mind and divine plan that God had ordained and established to be brought down to this earth so that we could be saved. "She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." That's a fundamental. We need to remember that. everything else that we might profess or claim to have in our walk of faith in Christ is fundamental to, the fundamental of that is, He saved me from my sins. Folks, don't ever forget, if you are saved, don't ever forget, however long it has been, don't ever forget, Jesus saved me from my sins. That ought to be foremost in our mind every day. If it weren't for the love of God reaching down to me through His Son Jesus, I could not be saved. Fundamental. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The Apostle Paul says these words, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Fundamental. He loved me, and He gave Himself for me. Without regard to my worth or merit, as if I had any, before the foundation of the world, before I ever loved Him, He loved me. Before I ever had any thought, idea, or mind that I wanted to love Him and serve Him, He loved me. He loved me because He was willing to take upon Him human flesh, take upon Him the form of a servant, come to this earth, walk this earth, and suffer all the things that He suffered. And we've read those things. We've talked about those things. Slapped, spit upon, mocked, made fun of, was willing to forbear all of those things. He loved me so I could be saved. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. Fundamental. I wouldn't know what love is except God had loved me. Fundamental. How could I explain love? How could I express love? How could I feel love except something or someone had loved me and I had experienced that? If there will be love in this world, it'll be because there is a God from which the source from which love flows. Fundamental. I say, folks, if we're not careful, we will lose sight of the fundamentals and we'll take so many things for granted that we will forget the basis of our salvation. And we will start to pin our salvation upon our works. We will start to pin our salvation upon how good I am, about how right I am, about how holy I am. I can't be holy. I can't be right. I can't be saved except some fundamental things have to be in place first. Acts 4:12. Another fundamental. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm going to repeat that scripture. I want it to sink into our minds. If you have faith, confidence in yourself, I'm just as good as, or I am better than, remember this. If I base my salvation on being just as good as the next man or being better than the next man, the Pharisee, the publican, if I base my salvation on relative circumstances, if I base my salvation on I'm just as good as you, you're no better than me, If I base my salvation on that, folks, I'm lost. If you base your salvation on that mindset, you are lost. Amen. For there is salvation in no other name under heaven whereby man can be saved except through Christ Jesus. No other name. No other way. No other way for me to be saved. No other way for me to have this relationship of closeness with God. No other way for me to escape eternal damnation. No other way for me to gain eternal life with God in heaven except through Jesus Christ. Not my own righteousness, not my own philosophy, not my own goodness, not my own holiness, not my own modesty, not my own faith. They come down to fundamentals that I must recognize I have been saved from my sins. Everything else is built upon that fundamental precept. First Timothy. Chapter 1. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he said, of whom I am chief. Of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul, who was a man that was apparently, as we read in the Scriptures, powerful in faith, powerful in belief, had the Spirit of God on his life, had the Spirit of God in his preaching, was able to heal, had a power, a gift of healing, had those things, and he said, it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I want you all to know that I was the chief among them. I say that we do well not to grovel in the past of our lives, but to realize where I was. Never forget where I was. Never forget the path I was on. Never forget the things I did that grieved my Lord. But He loved me in spite of all of those things. And He kept knocking on my heart's door and was willing. Never forget where you came from. Never forget. The Apostle Paul said, He came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the chief of them. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now, unto the King immortal, eternal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. What do I have to glory of? What do I have to boast of? What do I have to a list of accomplishments that I have been able to do myself? What things do I have that I can claim that I have these abilities and these powers? I have nothing except God condescended to bestow them on me. Fundamentals. It is so easy for us to get the cart ahead of the horse. It's so easy for us to claim my salvation because I am holy, because I am pure, because I am sanctified, because I have faith, because I am modest. That's not salvation. That is a byproduct of salvation. Salvation comes when I recognize my lost and my undone condition, the fundamental thing that Christ Jesus came to save me from my sins. If I forget that, if I ever lose sight of that, folks, I am in jeopardy. If I ever lose sight of the things, the fundamental things, those primary principles, the foundation or basis, the essential, important things, the groundwork of a system, if I ever lose sight that the reason that I am where I am today is because Christ Jesus loved me and He gave Himself for me. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Galatians 2:20. I'll tell you, folks, that verse has been ringing over and over in my mind. The life which I now live, I live by the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I can't have salvation any other way. There had to be one willing to give something that I could not give. There had to be one willing to do something that I could not do. There had to be one willing to bestow love upon me when I was unlovable. There had to be one willing to bestow love when I wasn't even here. Before the foundation of the world, He had love toward me. And He offers salvation and forgiveness to me before I ever ask. It's offered to me. It's there for me. Now, I have to accept that. I have to be willing to open the door. The Scripture says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open to me..." Folks, I'll tell you, that's another vital principle. Jesus Christ will not push His way into your life. It does not happen by osmosis. It's not absorbed. It has to be an opening. There has to be an opportunity. There has to be an opening. The picture that I've seen is Jesus standing at a door where there is no latch system on the outside of that door. Any way that that door could be opened is only from the inside. The only way that Christ will come inside of your heart is you have to open your heart to Him. That's a fundamental. You'll not get it any other way. You'll not get it by reading the Bible stories. You'll not get it by reading and listening to your parents in the home. You'll not get it by listening to them read the Bible stories. You'll not get it by kneeling down and having prayer with them when they pray. You will get it only when you meet the criteria of the fundamentals. That I recognize I'm lost. And Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. Now, I'd like to turn to John 6. John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus, in the setting here, to get the context, He had fed the 5,000 with the loaves and the fishes. The people have been following Him. They heard His message. They heard His teaching. And evening time came. They were hungry. And He performed a miracle and fed the 5,000. That evening, the disciples boarded a ship on the other side of the lake. Jesus did the same. He walked to them, came to them, walking on water. The next morning, the people woke up and they couldn't find Jesus. Where is He? I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here. I'm going to insert some of my own thinking, if you'll give me that liberty. It's time for breakfast. Time for breakfast. Where's Jesus? You get the setting. Yesterday evening, we were here listening to the Lord and Master teach, and it was late, and He didn't want to send us away hungry, so He told us all to sit down, and this little boy came up with some loaves and fishes, and he broke bread, and he prayed, and handed out food, and we were all filled, and there was more left over, and we saw that miracle, and He didn't send us away, but where is He this morning? I don't know how many of them woke up and said, "Hey, it's time to eat. Where's Jesus?" I don't know. Perhaps not a one. But I draw my inference from the words of the Master. I draw my conclusion to the situation from the words that Jesus said when they found Him on the other side. They came to Him and they said, "How'd you get here? When did you come?" Verse 26, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Now, the words of the Master here tell me that He read their hearts and minds, saying, "You didn't come because of the fundamentals. You came because it's breakfast time and you want something to eat." And then He says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth." What had they done? They had walked across the other side, circuitous route. They had come around and walked, found Him. And when they said, they put forth all of that effort for what I perceive the Master said was, "Your tummies are growling. You come to me for what I can do for you materially. You come to me not because of the miracles, not because of what I really fundamentally came for. You come looking for me because you saw the loaves and you were filled. Don't labor for that." This is the words of the Master, folks. He says, "Don't labor for the meat that perishes. Don't labor for that which you walked all this way. And you, I have every idea that you came to me because you anticipated me saying, 'Sit down in groups again, and I'm going to pray, and we're going to have something to eat.' Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto Him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent." Believe on Him whom He hath sent. Not the loaves and the fishes. Not the baskets of fragments. Not all of the peripheral things, not all the byproducts. Believe on Him. Believe on Him. When you get that fundamental right, everything else will fall into its proper order, folks. It will do it. If we don't get the cart ahead of the horse. I said to you at the beginning, it is easy for us as human beings to allow time and distance to separate us from a key event to where we are now, and we forget the key event. We start putting more importance on things that are byproducts of the key event instead of the key event itself. Hear me out. The love of Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit of God, working in the heart and the life of a man, will lead him into path of truth, will lead him into light, will lead him into holiness and purity and righteousness and faith and gifts. It will lead him into those things. Those things are not my salvation. Amen. Those things are blessings and benefits from God. which He wants to bestow upon His children. Make no mistake. He wants those things to be given to His children. He wants you and me to possess those things. Holiness, purity, righteousness. But He does not want us to get the cart ahead of the horse and make those things my salvation, and I have forgotten how lost and undone I was when I knelt at that altar of prayer, when the Lord spoke to my heart, sent conviction, knocked on my heart's door, and said, "If you will open, I will come in." And I had to make a decision and a choice at that point. Do I open and let this Master come in? And I decide, yes, Lord, I will open and let You come in. I open the door, He comes in, He takes up His abode with me, and oh, what a blessing that is. I say we ought to get on our faces every day, at least some, and thank God for His plan of salvation and for Him rescuing me from my sins. That we ought to never forget it. Down in verse 31, they said, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread to eat, bread from heaven to eat. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." A fundamental. "Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." He said, "I am the bread of life. I am that bread of life." If we will be saved, if we will come to the end of our journey and hear the Lord say, "Well done," if we will do that, it will be because we love Him because He first loved us. If we come to the end of our journey and He says, "Well done, thou faithful servant," it'll be because I recognize that He loved me and He gave Himself for me. It'll be because I realize that even though I might not have gotten myself steeped deeply in sin, I was lost, hopeless, helpless, and undone. And within me lay the possibility and potential for all types of heinous and grievous sins, except God forgave me of my sins. The Apostle Paul said, "I was chief." I say the same thing, folks. He forgave me of my sins. He loved me. He helped me. And I think of all the things that was in my heart and all the possibilities that lie there, and I look at the way things have gone with my fellow man, and I read stories each day about people who mass shootings and tortures and all kinds of heinous activities that they've committed, and I think, two things. I have two ways to respond to that. Lord, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I do everything I can to help my fellow man. And I am so glad I'm not like that man that decided to go off and do all these heinous things. Or I can say, Lord, thank You for saving me. Thank You for saving me. And thank You through Your Holy Spirit for being willing to come by and visit me and sanctify me and take away that desire to follow through with that course of life. Thank You for taking that away, Lord. Thank You for taking away the desire to pursue those interests in life. Thank You for what You did for me, Lord. I'm no better than anybody else. All I did is say, "Yes, Lord, You can come in." That's all I've ever done. If you are saved today, that's all you ever did. You said, "Yes, Lord, you can come in. And if we maintain that mindset and build on the fundamentals, everything else, all the byproducts of holy and righteous living that come to play come because of the fundamentals are in place. Folks, let's never forget it. I am saved because He loved me before I ever loved Him. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. God bless each one is my prayer. Please pray for me. Amen.